This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight, we are with the second dhikr, which is also from the Quran, and that is known as Al-Mu'awwidhat. Al-Mu'awwidhat refers to the last three surah of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah Al-Nas. All these three are called Al-Mu'awwidhat. And there is another common name that is Al-Mu'awwidhatayn. When we say Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, we mean by this the last two surah, which is Surah Al-Falaq wa Surah Al-Nas. And then the first one would be called Surah Al-Ikhlas. So we can either refer to them as Al-Mu'awwidhat, this is referring to all three, or we can say Surah Al-Ikhlas wal-Mu'awwidhatayn. Al-Ikhlas wal-Mu'awwidhatayn. Wal-Mu'awwidhatayn, it means the surah in which you are seeking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the harms and the evils. So we're with this today. And perhaps we'll have time to cover Surah Al-Ikhlas because there is a few rulings that we need to discuss and that'll take some time. So first, let's mention al-dalil, the proof and the evidence as to why these three surah are to be recited in the morning and in the evening, and how many times should we recite them. Abdullah ibn Khubayb radiallahu anhu, he narrates and he says, خرجنا في ليلة مطر وظلمة شديدة نطلب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليصلي لنا. Abdullah ibn Khubayb radiallahu anhu, he said, we went out on a rainy and an extremely dark night. We were looking for the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that he can lead us in salat. فأدركناه, and they caught up to him. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Khubayb, he said to him, قل, say, which means recite, اقرأ, read. So Abdullah said, فلم أقل شيئا, I didn't say anything, because he didn't know what to say. So then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, second time now, he said to him, قل, recite, say. So Abdullah said, فلم أقل شيئا, I didn't say, because he didn't know what to say. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for the third time, he said to him, قل, say, recite. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, ma aqul. Abdullah said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should I say? What do I recite? Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قل هو الله أحد والمعوذتين حين تمسي وحين تصبح ثلاث مرات تكفيك من كل شيء. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, recite, قل هو الله أحد, Surah Al-Ikhlas, والمعوذتين, Surah Al-Falaq, وصورت الناس, three times in the morning, and again three times in the evening, it will suffice you in all respects. يعني العلماء رحمهم الله, they say, it'll suffice you against everything that is harmful and evil, of magic and the black eye, or the evil eye, والجن والشياطين, with the devils, with sins, والفتن, and everything of the evil that you can think of, these suwar would protect a person from that. Now, this is a hadith that is authenticated by Abu Dawood, with Tirmidhi, Ibn Hajar, Al-Albani, and others. So you notice in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to Abdullah ibn Khubayb, قل, how many times? Three times. He said to him, قل, recite, recite, recite. Wallahu a'lam, the three times is for the three surah, because they all begin with قُلْ, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And the other thing is, this is one of the methods in how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach this ummah and how he taught the companions. He would always do this method in terms of asking, say this, would you like to know this, Would you like to know what is the worst of the sins? And he would say this, and they would develop some sort of excitement towards what he would say. And when he says it, that's it. It is memorized as opposed to just him giving them information. And this even would happen to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. When he was in the cave and Jibreel would come and say, Iqra, 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 bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. For this has a stronger effect on a person to retain this knowledge and to memorize it, as opposed to just it being given as news and as information. For this is one of the methods. And up until this day, many teachers implement this kind of method in terms of question and answers, very beneficial in terms of learning. Now concerning this narration, Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said that this hadith proves that the one who recites these three surah three times in the morning and three times in the evening, it'll suffice him from everything that he is afraid of. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that these three surah are extremely effective in repelling magic and the evil eye and the rest of all the evils that are known to man. And he said that the need for the slave to seek Allah's protection through these surah is greater than the need for eating and drinking and clothing. Because when you eat and you drink, how many times do you do that? How many times a day are you eating and drinking? One time, two times, three times, maximum what, four times? These surah, you're reading them in the morning three times, in the evening three times, before you go to bed three times. And then after every salat, you're reciting it one time. At the end of the day, you're reciting this surah so many times throughout the day and the night. And you're doing this more than you're eating and drinking and changing your clothes. Subhanallah. Now, if you're on the notes, you can go to page number 4 and we'll discuss something on that. And that is that Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said something concerning the arrangement of these surah. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Wal-Falaq, Wal-Nas. Something about the arrangement. And this is very beautiful. Listen to this, it's very important. Surah Al-Ikhlas is a complete praise of Allah. That's the central theme of the surah. It is all about At-Tawheed. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Nothing else. It's all about Allah. And the next two surah, Surah Al-Falaq, Wal-Nas, they are a dua. They are basically a dua in which the believer is seeking Allah's protection from different types of evils and harms. So we begin with the praise of Allah in Surah Al-Ikhlas and then we make dua in Surah Al-Falaq or Surah Al-Nas. Subhanallah. And this is the most appropriate way in making dua. You begin by Allah's praise and then you ask what you want to ask from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you observe these words, you'll find that this is very true. And the same arrangement would happen at the beginning of the Quran, which is in Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is two halves. The first half of it is a complete, perfect praise of Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. That's a praise. Then the second half is a dua. Ihdina الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. At the end. For you notice that al-mu'awwidhat, the end of the Quran, it's a dua. The first of it is a praise of Allah, and then the dua comes in the second two surah asking Allah to protect you from certain harms and evils. So it begins with the praise, and then it ends with the request asking Allah for protection. كمان subhanallah, you notice as well, in Surah Al-Fatiha, there was a dua in Surah Al-Fatiha. We asked Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us to the straight path. And that He save us from the path of Al-Maghdubi Alayhim Wal Ad-Dallin. To save us from the path of those who earned Allah's anger and those who have become misguided and led astray. And at the end of the Quran, in Surah Al-Nas, the last surah in the Quran, in that surah, we are asking Allah to protect us from the greatest evil known to man, which is who? Al-waswas al-khannas alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas min al-jinnati wan-nas. We're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from the devils, both of mankind and of jinnkind, min al-jinnati wan-nas. and the relationship he is that on top of the list of al-maghdub alayhim wal dallin are the devils from mankind and jinnkind. The devils of mankind and jinnkind are on top of the list when it comes to al-maghdub alayhim, those who earned Allah's anger, and al-dallin, those who were led astray and are misguided. So perfect connection from the beginning of the Quran to the end of the Quran. And these three suwar, al-ikhlas, wal-falaq, wal-nas, we recite them, we said, three times in the morning, three times in the evening. Why? When we already know that surah or ayatul kursi, which came before this, we read it once. Ayatul kursi we read once. But these surah, we're reading them three times each. Why? Because the minimum when it comes to making dua is to repeat it three times. And we said that al-ikhlas wal-mu'awwidhatayn is a dua. It began with the praise of Allah and then asking Allah for protection from evils and harms. Since it's a dua, repeat it three times. Because the minimum when repeating dua should be three times. And this is something known as al-ilhahu fi dua. Al-ilhahu fi dua, which means repetition in dua. And this is from the etiquette and manners of making dua. And a person's dua is closer to being accepted if it was repeated in this manner. وَعَبْدَ ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he narrated and he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان إذا دعا دعا ثلاثا. And this hadith in Sahih Muslim, that when a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua, he would repeat his dua three times. وَإِذَا سَأَلَ سَأَلَ ثلاثا. And if he was to request from Allah, he would also repeat that three times. وابن القيم رحمه الله in his book الداء والدواء he says ومن أنفع الأدوية الإلحاح في الدعاء. And from the most beneficial remedies, he called it a medicine, from the most beneficial remedies is to repeat your dua. Repetition in dua, it strengthens the heart and it strengthens the certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it shows that you haven't given up. You repeat your dua one, two, three times. It's as though you're screaming from your heart, oh Allah, I know you're listening. And I'm repeating, and I continue to repeat because I'm begging. And I will beg from you whatever I like and whatever I want and what I need protection of. Why? Because I know you can fulfill this request and you can answer my needs. So repetition in dua is very important, as opposed to a person who makes his dua once and moves on. Hey, there's such a person, yani, he's very weak in his certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that Allah is al-mujib, the one who responds and hears. If you truly believe that Allah is al-mujib, the one who responds and hears and gives the servants what they ask for, then you will continue to repeat this dua today and in the evening and tomorrow and after tomorrow, and you continue for every single day until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, طيب, we go back to the first page if you have the notes. And we'll discuss a matter here related to these three surah. And that is, do we repeat the basmala every time we recite the mu'awwidhat or not? So here we say that the sunnah is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the basmala, which is saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, at the beginning of every surah. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. As a result, al-ulama rahimahumullah would say, it's best that you repeat al-basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, every time you recite al-ikhlas and al-falaq and an-nas. So you'd say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, al-ikhlas. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, qul a'udhu bi rabbil-falaq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, qul a'udhu bi rabbin-nas. You'll repeat this basmala. And again, for all the three times that you would do, you would repeat the basmala. And a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, you have already said that with Ayatul Kursi. When you began Ayatul Kursi over there, you'd say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, without the need of saying al-basmala after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim for Ayatul Kursi. The second matter here we want to look in is, how do we recite the mu'awwidhat, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Wal-Falaq, Wal-Nas? How do we recite it? Do we recite each one three times? Or do we recite each one once and then we repeat that another two times? So here, nothing was specifically narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning this matter. However, we have a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. how النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم would recite the معوذات before sleeping. فالبخاري رحمه الله in his صحيح he narrated and he said that whenever النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوى إلى فراشه, whenever he would go to his bed, every single night he would bring his palms together, ثم نفث فيهما, and he would spittle in them like this, and then he would recite. Notice this. He would recite قل هو الله أحد, قل أعوذ برب الفلق, قل أعوذ برب الناس. He would recite them like this, and then he would wipe whatever he can of his body. He would start from his head, and he would go all the way down to his face, وما أقبل من جسده, and whatever is apparent of his body. So it doesn't mean that you go back and you wipe behind your hands and so on, just in front of you. This is what the narration says. And then he would repeat this three times, meaning he'd go back, recite, قل هو الله أحد, قل أعوذ برب الفلق, قل أعوذ برب الناس, and wipe again. Then قل هو الله أحد, قل أعوذ برب الفلق, قل أعوذ برب الناس. فالعلماء رحمهم الله took from this hadith that perhaps the best way of reciting the معوذات in the morning and in the evening is to recite قل هو الله أحد, then قل أعوذ برب الفلق, then قل أعوذ برب الناس, saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم with each one. Once you've finished, you repeat that again, and you repeat it again. And this is يعني best, because at the beginning it's a praise of Allah, then your dua is coming. A praise of Allah, then your dua is coming. A praise of Allah, and then your dua is coming. And of course, this is different when it comes to at-tasbih, the tasbih after the prayers. What's best is that you group them. So subhanAllah, you group it all 33 times. Walhamdulillah, you group them all together 33, and Allahu Akbar all together 33 times. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said that يعني, this is a more preferred matter. And even then, after the prayers, you can still do subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And you do that 33 times, and at the end you say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And this is يعني, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning this matter. He said, this is the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit. He said, Amarana an nusabbiha fi duwuri kulli salat 33. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to do tasbih 33 times. Then alhamdulillah 33. Then Allahu Akbar 33, and in another narration 34. فإذن, that's how it's done for at-tasbih. But when we come to أذكار الصباح والمساء, when it comes to al-mu'awwidhat, you'll do al-ikhlas, and then al-falaq, and then al-nas, and you repeat this another two times. طيب. Surah al-ikhlas, this surah exclusively speaks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. Let's discuss some of its virtues. And this, by the way, Surah Al-Ikhlas, is the surah that carries the most authentic ahadith concerning its virtues. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, this is the first of its virtues. Abu Hurairah narrates that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he came out to the companions and he said to them, Uhshudu, gather up. فَإِنِّي سَأَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكُمْ ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ, I'm going to recite a third of the Qur'an on you people. So they all gathered, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he recited Surah Al-Ikhlas. Then he went to his home. Sahaba are still sitting. They thought, he's told us he's going to recite the third of the Quran. He just recited Surah Al-Ikhlas. Then he took off, he went into his home. Sahaba having a discussion among themselves, they said perhaps he went inside, Al-Wahi is coming now, probably something, third of the Quran is coming and he'll come back and recite it to us. So then, when he finished from his house, he came back out. Companions are still gathered. And he said to them, I told you, I will recite to you people the third of the Qur'an. أَلَا وَإِنَّهَا تَعْدِلُ ثُلَثَ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, indeed, Surah Al-Ikhlas, this surah I just read of four ayat, is equal to a third of the Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. And indeed, it is a third of the Qur'an. And on many occasions, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention to the companions that it's a third of the Qur'an. In another instant, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companions, he asks them a question. He said, أَيَعْجَزُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَقْرَأَ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. He said, is any one of you unable to recite a third of the Qur'an every single night? يعني, the narration says, فَشَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ, they found that something very burdening, very difficult. يعني, who can do that? A third of the Qur'an, that's 10 juz'a, If every juz'a is going to take a half an hour, 10 juz'a, that's 5 hours. Who has 5 hours at night to sit down and read that every night? So they said, أَيُّنَا يُطِيقُ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يعني, who can do this? I don't think anyone's got the strength, the ability to do this. And every night, then he said to them, اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الصَّمَدُ ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ. That Surah Al-Ikhlas itself is a third of the Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. What does this mean? يعني العلماء رحمهم الله, they said, in terms of reward, it equals to a third of the Qur'an. So the one who recited قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ once earned the reward of reading 10 أجزاء. And so you're reading, sitting down in the morning, reading Al-Ikhlas 3 times, you've earned the reward of reading the Qur'an, or so you haven't even moved from where you are. Allahu Akbar. And then comes the evening, you recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times, you earn the reward as though you recited the entire Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. And the other opinion as to what the third of the Qur'an means, al-ulama, they would say, a third in terms of subject matter. Because the Qur'an in terms of subject matter is split into 3 subjects. There is 1/3 stories, 1/3 rulings, ahkam, hajj, salat, and so on. And another 1/3, aqaid, beliefs. And so the greatest of these 3 parts is al-aqaid, the belief that we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained 13 years in Mecca focusing on al-aqidah and instilling this in the believers, their belief in Allah azza wa jal. And then after this comes the ahkam, and after this in importance comes the stories. So it's equal a third of the Qur'an in terms of subject matter. However the case, both opinions are true, because a third of the Qur'an is al-aqaid, and also in reward as well. In reward, it is also equal to a third. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in another hadith, whoever recites Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jal would build for him a house in the paradise. And this is authenticated by Imam Al-Albani. A house in the paradise is not a house on earth. This is a house in the paradise that Allah himself will build for you. And there you're in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're in the paradise that he has created for the believers. So imagine this. You're reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening, 3 times before you sleep, and 1 time after every salat, you're bound to recite it 10 times every day. And the one who increases on this and recites it more, then the more you read, the more houses being built for you. Another of its virtues, Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a man as a commander of a war expedition, and he used to lead the people in salat. And he would say Allahu Akbar, read Surah Al-Fatiha, then he would read a surah, and after the surah he would read Surah Al-Ikhlas. And he would do this for every rak'ah in where there is recitation of, يعني, other than the Fatiha, the first 2 rak'at. He would do this all the time. So when they returned back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they informed him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, this man leads us in salat, he's reading Surah Al-Fatiha, a surah, and he's always concluding with Surah Al-Ikhlas before he goes down into ruku'. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, سَلُوهُ لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ. Ask him, why is he doing this? So they asked him, and he said, لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَأُحِبُّ أَنْ أَقْرَأَهَا. He says, because it is a description of Ar-Rahman. It describes Ar-Rahman. It gives us information about Allah. And I love to recite it. Allahu Akbar, look at this companion. He's connected with a surah in the Qur'an. He's connected with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he heard this response, he said to the companions, أخبروه أن الله يحبه. Go and inform him that Allah Azza wa Jal loves him. Allahu Akbar. هذا, he earned Allah's love because he connected with one name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rahman. He connected with one surah, which is 4 ayat. He loved it. He didn't love it because it's a short surah and move on in his salat. He loved it because of the great meaning it has and who it's speaking about. Is there anyone greater than Allah Azza wa Jal in your life? For he loved it. As a result, Allah Azza wa Jal loved him. Allahu Akbar. And this is what we're supposed to do. Since we've began this series until now, We've discussed many names of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shuf anta you. Everyone has a journey with the names of Allah azza wa jal. See your heart. What name of Allah does it connect with? Which one is earning your Allah azza wa jal's love? Which name of Allah is living in your heart when you wake up and when you sleep? There needs to be some name of Allah azza wa jal that is always living there. This sahabi, Ar-Rahman, the name Ar-Rahman, wakes him up. He loves Ar-Rahman. He loves the description of Ar-Rahman. And he's genuine about this. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't lie in his information. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said to him that Allah loves you, that means his love for this surah was genuine. It was honest. It was sincere. And you build this genuine love for the surah by continuously reciting it and searching for its meaning, searching for its definition, for its tafsir, and implementing it in your life. This is how you're going to connect. Allahu Akbar. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he records as well a hadith, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, and this is the same thing, a man from the Ansar, he used to lead the people in salat in Masjid Quba, but this time he would, Allahu Akbar, Surah Al-Fatiha, then he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, and then a surah after that. So he's doing opposite to what his friend did. And the people in Masjid Quba became irritated. So they said to him, why are you doing this? Enough, recite one surah or recite something else. He said to them, I will continue on my way. If you don't like it, you can remove me and I'll go pray somewhere else. Otherwise, if you'd like to pray behind me, this is what I'll do. And they didn't like what he said because he was the best imam in the area and he was going to lead the prayers. So they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they informed him about what he's doing. فالنبي sallallahu alayhi wasallam calls him and says to him, what prevents you from doing what your companions are commanding you to do? Why are you reading this surah for? Why don't you just listen to them and read one surah? Or that surah enough and go into your ruku'ah? فهي says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إني أحبها. I love it. Allahu Akbar. And can you imagine this? Had a companion reading the surah and he's saying, I love it. Enta, which ayah in the Quran do you love? Which surah in the Quran do you love? You love so much that you always want to display its ayat on your heart and bring on your tongue. This is what he's doing. Not only loves it here, but in his actions, it shows that he loves it. He's reciting it in every rak'ah before he's reciting a surah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, حُبُّكَ إِيَّاهَا أَدْخَلَكَ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, because of your love for this surah, this has admitted you into the paradise. Allahu Akbar. On one instant we have that it earned Allah's love. Here we have that it earned him the paradise. What more does a person want? Subhanallah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love this surah as well. And this is why he would tell us to recite it in the morning, in the evening. He himself would inform the ummah to recite it in Sunnah al-Fajr, in Sunnah al-Maghrib, in the two rak'ah of al-Tawaf, in Salat al-Istikhara, even though there is difference of opinion on that. But the idea, it's there, it's active, it's alive, every single day, more than 10, 20 times, it's being recited. For the one who truly loves it, that love would be displayed on his tongue and in his actions. Let's see how many times are you going to recite it and how are you going to implement its meanings in your life. And also, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, and from its last virtues I share with you, he said, I went out with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I heard a man recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wajabat, it's obligatory. Abu Hurairah said, what wajabat? What is obligatory? He said, al-jannah. The paradise is obligatory for this person because he's reciting it. Subhanallah. The names of the surah, we'll share two names with you so you can understand what is happening as you're reciting in the morning and in the evening. This is called Surah Al-Ikhlas. Why was it called Surah Al-Ikhlas? Al-Ikhlas is sincerity. This is what Ikhlas is, sincerity. And so if a person recites this surah and implements its meanings and lives by this surah, he will definitely achieve Ikhlas, sincerity in his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if we're reciting this surah so many times in the day and the night, it just tells us that there's one big thing that we're always working on to perfect, and that is our sincerity in our worship. This is one huge matter. And you always, people complain, am I sincere? How do I achieve sincerity? How do I avoid ar-riya and showing off and ostentation and so on? How do I perfect my sincerity. Surah Al-Ikhlas was called the Surah of sincerity. You live by its meanings during the day, during the night, you will definitely achieve the level of sincerity. And also Surah Al-Ikhlas, it comes from the word khalusa. Khalusa means to free something from something. If there is a rope tied with another rope and you untie it, you will say khalusa al-hablu min al-habl, that this rope has finally been freed and untied from the other rope. And so in other words, whoever's confused about Allah, whoever has lots of doubt about Allah, wal-waswas has overtaken his life, then this surah, Al-Ikhlas, it is enough to separate him from the doubts and to separate him from any misconception he has towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Al-Khalas, that's it. It'll finish him from all doubts and from all evils and thoughts and whispers that are in his mind concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, it's called Surah Al-Muqashqisha. This is a name of it. Wal-Muqashqisha comes from the word Qashqasha, which means to wipe something away. This is what it means. And so it was called Al-Muqashqisha because the meanings of this surah, if implemented in your life and grasped by your heart, it'll wipe away any shirk and any kufr that is in the heart. Anything besides Allah Azza wa Jal would be wiped away from the heart with the meanings of this surah. This is why very important to read it in the morning, to affirm this tawheed in your life from the morning, because you don't know if you're going to live to the evening. When you reach the evening, you read it again three times, affirming this tawheed once again in your life. And then before you sleep, because you don't know, you might die in your sleep, you have recited Surah Al-Ikhlas. Whoever recites it in the morning, in the evening and at night, these are one of the times you're going to die, you'd be fine, you'd be good, subhanAllah. And this surah was revealed when a group of the mushrikeen came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Quraysh, and they asked him, إِلَى مَا تَدْعُونَ, what are you calling us to, ya Muhammad? This is what they would call him. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, إِلَى الله, I call you to Allah. So they said to him, صِفْهُ لَنَا, إِنْسِبْ لَنَا رَبَّكَ, describe your Lord to us. Name the lineage of your Lord. Who is he? The son of who and who? Because that's the Arabs. They're all known by their tribes, and we come from this tribe and our forefathers and so on. So they thought, maybe the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is as such. They said to him, أَمِنْ ذَهَبٍ هُوَ أَمْ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ أَمْ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ أَمْ مِنْ خَشَبٍ, is your Lord from gold or from silver or from metal, or is he from wood? Why are they saying this? Because that's their idols and their gods are made from these materials. Subhanallah, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Until this day, people have taken lords from wood and stone and metal and whatever it is. So Jibreel comes down with this surah, containing the most complete and comprehensive description of Allah Azza wa Jal in brief, concise, comprehensive words. Jibreel comes and he says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدْ. قُلْ, say, this is a commandment. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say in this ayah who to say to. So the idea is say. Say to the mushrikeen, say to the Jews, say to the Christians, say to everyone. Make a general public announcement. Reveal this knowledge to the entire world because everyone needs it. قُلْ, say, Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. That's what we take from the word قُلْ. This is Allah teaching us. We need to go out and make this surah public. Announce it to the people. This is the knowledge that the world needs today. What do you think the world needs today? Wallahi, they do not need anything except the knowledge of a tawheed. When a tawheed is in the lives of people, things become calm. Things become in order. Chaos would be wiped and faded away from this life. This is what people need. So قُلْ, say to the people, this surah and the meanings of this, preach to the people about their Lord. قُلْ, also, it implies that the knowledge of aqeedah, because this surah is about Allah, which is related to our belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. The word قُلْ implies that your knowledge about Allah can only be taken from the wahi. Before the word قُلْ was revealed, don't say anything. Don't say anything about Allah from your own mind and desire and whims. This is what people did. When they wanted to say something about a god, they made their own god. And they began to describe him and tell the people, "Ah, this is a God. He provides for us. This one here, he, if you're sick, you can go. Look at this." Because there was no wahi in their lives. So it's misguidance. So Qul is teaching us, only take your religion after Qul comes. When Allah reveals, then take your belief and take your Islam and take your deen from Allah's word and then from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would describe to us and explain to us Allah azza wa jal's word. There is no guidance without Allah's word. That's what Allah would say. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. He found you lost. He found you seeking. That was the state of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lost. No idea what to do. فَهَدَى. Then he guided you. How? When he revealed this Quran unto you. Now, and it is upon Allah that he clarify the path to, for us and teach us the correct way and teach us the correct belief. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ قَصْدُ السَّبِيلِ. It is upon Allah that he clarify the path and teach us the path of guidance. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has done that. Sent us the book and sent us prophets, the best of mankind, to teach us. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. هُوَ is a pronoun referring to Allah Azza wa Jalla. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. We spoke a lot about Allah. أَحَدْ. أَحَدْ. He is one. He is unique. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. It has that tanween at the end. And the tanween, it implies التعظيم. It implies تعظيم. It implies greatness. Meaning أَحَدٌ. He is absolutely unique. And there is great oneness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَدْ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. This is the word that Bilal radiallahu anhu would say in the face of the mushrikeen in Mecca when he was being tortured. And it frustrated the disbelievers and it annoyed them. And so imagine this word Ahad, it annoys and it frustrates ash-shayateen and the devils. And here you're sitting in the morning and in the evening and you're saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Ash-shaytan hates this word. Runs away immediately. You've earned protection as soon as you say Ahad. And even the word before it, Allah. This word is huge. Ala shaytan, he runs away. Look at the protection that a person is given. Look at the power that is being charged and instilled in the believer's hearts. From the very morning, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allahu Akbar. And the surah began with this name, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Because that's the foundation of our religion. This is the foundation of our religion, to believe in one Lord. No Lord worthy of worship except Him. And by the way, this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas, is also called Surah Al-Asas, the surah of foundation, because the very beginning ayah is the foundation of our deen. Subhanallah. And look what's beautiful now. So when you're sitting in the morning and in the evening and you're reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, you have just finished reciting what? Ayat Al-Kursi. Now when you recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, the first ayah is reaffirming the first part of surah of Ayat al-Kursi. In Ayat al-Kursi, you began, Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah, there is no Lord worthy of worship except Him. Now, Surah al-Ikhlas, the first ayah reaffirms this meaning. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. But in different words. Say, and I declare, I wholeheartedly declare that Allah is one and He's unique. In His names, in His being, is in attributes, in His actions. He's one, unique. So you don't forget this. As you're reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas, coming straight after Ayat Al-Kursi, the meanings are being reaffirmed in your heart. That's why I told you that the adhkar, all of them, whether you look at it this way or that way, they are all one theme, one central message. And that is to give you purpose in life, to show you what your purpose in life is. And that is La ilaha illallah. How can you be confused when you know the meanings of the words of Allah Azza wa Jal? You cannot be confused. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. أَحَدْ. He's unique. He's one. You know, it's very easy for you in the morning and in the evening to say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. You're going to say it three times. أَحَدْ. 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 In the afternoon. أَحَدْ. 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 Before you sleep. أَحَدْ. After the prayers. But you know, the real question is this. How are you going to live this ayah and implement it in your life? Is Allah the one in your life? Or do you have some other one that you're running after? But since you're saying قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, He is one, He is unique, is He really the one in your life? Or there's some other one you're running after? Be very careful. This is how you're going to implement. We're speaking about, we're all about implementation. How are we going to transition from ayat recited on the tongue into action of the limbs. This is the entire point of learning what we're learning and emphasizing on what we're emphasizing and going slow in this entire course. We want to transition from words to action. For this is what you need to question yourself. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Stop back in the morning and ask yourself, are you really honest? Is he really the one in your life? So that means when the call to salat is made, you're going to drop everything and run. Because he's the one. Have you made him the one in your life? Or there's some other one you're running after and you've delayed his commands until the end of the day. Whatever I can do, I can do. And whatever I can't, خلاص الله غفور الرحيم. This is how you're going to implement. You know, subhanAllah, when Allah Azza wa Jal created mankind, two things, body and a soul. Our body survives on that which Allah Azza wa Jal put on earth. So we eat, we drink, and this is all coming from the earth. We need sunlight. This is all from here. This nourishes the body. But then there's a soul inside of us that gets hungry as well, that needs to eat as well. If you starve it, it'll have the same effect as if you were to starve your body. If you starved your body and you didn't eat, you didn't drink, you didn't expose to sunlight, you will rot. You'll become sick, diseased, you'll die in a few days. Exactly the same thing happens to the soul. If it is not fed and nourished, and it can only be nourished from where it came from. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. It came from Allah. So it will only be nourished by that which came from Allah as well, which is al-wahi. It needs this. The soul needs food. The soul needs something. People in the past and until today ended up resorting to idols. They had this spiritual void. My soul needs something, but I don't know what it needs. So they ended up worshipping an idol. But it still doesn't fill the void because there's corruption. This is misguidance. So you'll still find them in chaos and in loss and misery and distress and depression and worry because the spiritual void wasn't filled with that which is correct and authentic. So people in the past would resort to something to fill that spiritual void. And yani today, people have taken their desire as a Lord. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions in the Quran, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Your desire could be a Lord. If you were to obey your desire, everything your nafs wants, ya Allah, just follow it. This is an ilah. People have filled their spiritual void today by following that which they desire. And yani one of the many ways of how people obey their desire is through the many forms of entertainment that are in today's society that were never found years and years and years and centuries before. Entertainment is like a god for people. Entertainment has become a god for people. They worship it. This is the one. This is the Ahad in his life. How am I going to pleasure myself? How am I going to sit down and spend my time? So he pleasures himself and his eyes by watching that which is haram. Ya Allah, from reel, to TikTok, to another one, to another one, to a third one. Some Quran in the middle, some hadith in the middle, back to a girl dancing. Then we come back to something filth. This is people's life today. Unfortunately, for the vast majority, this is how they are filling up the spiritual void they have. This is how they fill it up. This is the ahad in his life. This is the thing he's running after. And wallah, I received a call a few days of a woman, of a wife complaining, saying that when I go to bed, my husband is next to me. He's on his phone from reel to reel. Woman, or nakedness, or music, or shamelessness. Well, his wife's next to him. And this is what he's watching. And then when he gets bored, in the charge, finished. Where's al-adhkar before sleep? Where's ayatul kursi? Where's Surah Al-Ikhlas? What is this? I'm telling you, they've made this the one in their life. And apparently it fills them up for a short time. It doesn't last. A life like this would eventually lead to a person's brain rotting. The cells in the brain would rot. And the entire psychological makeup of a person becomes disturbed. Because this cannot be satisfying for mankind. Watching people's lives, going from one video to another, and it's all short, and no one can sit down and watch something for 3-4 minutes, let alone 1 hour. give us something short. Where did this idea of give us something short from come from? Hey, they came all from social media. These devils, they're the ones that made things very small in increments, 15 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, then GIFs, خلاص, it just pops up and it's finished. 1 second. Longer than that, I can't do. Even we need to realize this is a corruption that is out there in society. This is min amal shaytan. This is the work of the devils. So be careful. Don't get caught up in this. And I'm not saying that you cannot enjoy and you cannot look after yourself by going to the gym or whatever it is and, you know, other forms of entertainment. You can do that. But that's not al-ahad. Remember, Allah Azza wa Jal first in your life. The obligations are all done on time. You learn your deen, you prioritize this. Then once you're satisfied spiritually, you'll find that this is some time to relieve yourself, relax. And even then, if you're going to see something, you need to observe that which is halal only and avoid that which is haram, because it'll destroy all the good work that you did. Na'am, فَإِذَنْ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah is one. And He's the focus in your life. Everything else comes secondary. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. In the morning and in the evening. It is teaching us to change our attitude towards Allah. Nothing is more important to you than pleasing Allah. Nothing is more important to you than earning His mercy and forgiveness. Nothing is more important to you than Him being pleased with you and admitting you into the paradise and you seeing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to ask yourself, is He the one in your life? And work on this. And you're going to measure the answer. You're going to answer this by measuring your relationship with your prayers, especially. If it's always on time and you're giving it the time it requires, then bi'ithnillah, you're on a correct path. That Allah Azza wa Jal is the one in your life. Allahu Akbar. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. This ayah from the very morning, it is giving us purpose to the day. And when you read it in the evening, it's giving you purpose once again. And it's a reality check in the morning and in the evening every single day. Is He Al-Ahad or not? And so this meaning is being displayed on your heart every single day. Every few hours you're displaying and bringing this meaning back to your life. To see, is it real or not? Allahu Akbar. Fa'idhan, very important to recite them. And more important than this, to work towards implementing these ayat. Allahu Samad. The name Allah appears again. Emphasis, repetition for emphasis due to the greatness of the subject. As-Samad. As-Samad literally has about three meanings. As-Samad. Alladhi tasmudu ilayhi al-khala'iqu bihajatiha. As-Samad is the one who all creation would turn to for their requests and their needs. That's the first meaning of As-Samad. As-Samad, the first meaning is that we all need Allah and we rush to Him for our needs. The next meaning is Al-Ghani, the one who is self-sufficient. Idhan, As-Samad, when you bring these two meanings together, it'll give you this. Everyone is in need of Him and He is not in need of any one of His creation at all. And isn't this what we read in Ayatul Kursi? When we said Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, and we spoke about the name of Allah Al-Qayyum, the one who maintains the affairs of everything, and He's not in need of anyone at all, and everyone is in need of Him. You're reaffirming this meaning of Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum once again when you reach Allahu Samad. Subhanallah. Was-Samad, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, Al-Kamil, the perfect and the most complete. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, He is the master who is perfect in His sovereignty, yani in His power and His rule. And He is the most noble who is perfect in His nobility and His goodness. He is the most magnificent and He is perfect and complete in His magnificence. He is the most patient, Al-Halim, and He is perfect and complete in His patience. He is Al-Alim, the all-knowing, and He is complete and perfect in His knowledge. And He is the most wise, and He is complete and perfect in His wisdom. And He is the one who is perfect on all aspects of nobility and authority. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these attributes that we mentioned of Allah are not befitting to anyone but Him. This is how Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu gave tafsir of the name As-Samad, subhanallah. And because He's As-Samad, in which everyone needs Him and He doesn't need anyone and He's perfect and complete, because He is that, He comes down to the first sky every night in the last third of the night. You would have thought this is a grand event that should only happen once a week, or probably just in Laylatul Qadr, because it's a grand event. It's our Lord coming. La, but it happens every single night. You understand what this is? Yani Jibreel alayhi salam comes down only Laylatul Qadr. We're speaking here, Allah. You would have thought it's the other way around, that Allah would have come down only Laylatul Qadr. But no, that's not the case. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allah comes down every single night to the first sky in the last third of the night. Why? Because we are in need of Him every night. So He's there every night. And He says, هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Is there anyone that has a request so that I may answer it for him and fulfill it for him? فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Yani Allah Azza wa Jal is not saying, is there anyone requesting? La, He says, is there anyone requesting so that I can fulfill his request? Yani it's a guarantee. This word from Allah Azza wa Jal implies that the question and the dua you make at night is guaranteed, and it's accepted, and it's responded to. Allahu Akbar. So the one who gets up and asks Allah during that time really understood the meaning of As-Samad. He understood that I'm really in need of him, and he doesn't need me. Yet he's saying, is there anyone that wants to ask? And I will give him that which he asks. Allahu Akbar. This name As-Samad is important to always remember. The one who is afflicted with any calamity or tribulation and rushes to Allah, first and foremost, he knows As-Samad. But the one who rushed to his phone and to humans to assist him, his understanding of As-Samad is deficient. He believes in As-Samad, but it's deficient. He didn't understand the complete meaning of As-Samad. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, listen to the hadith. He said, مَنْ نَزَلَتْ بِهِ فَاقَةٌ فَأَنْزَلَهَا بِالنَّاسِ لَمْ تُسَدَّ فَاقَتُهُ. Whoever is afflicted by a difficulty, a calamity, a tribulation, a sickness, a disease, an illness, whatever it is, and he complains to people, he will never be satisfied. لَن تُسَدَّ فَاقَتُهُ. Whatever he needs will not be fulfilled. Why? Al-ulama would say, because he asked and he relied upon and he trusted in other than Allah, and these are people that do not possess any benefit nor any harm for this person. This is bad thought in Allah when you rush to mankind before rushing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Bad thought in Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to first turn to Allah As-Samad whenever there's a difficulty or calamity. Turn to Allah bil-dhikr, bil-du'a, bil-istighfar. Like Yunus alayhi salam in the belly of a whale, La ilaha illa ant, immediately. Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire, Hasbunallah. First word on his tongue is Allah. This is how it is. This is the righteous. This is their life. Whenever there's a difficulty, it's Allah on the tongue first, before anyone. Subhanallah. Naam. Why? Lenna Allah Azza wa Jal, as we said last time, the entire universe in his palm is like a mustard seed in our palm. Yani Allah Azza wa Jal can solve the problem. Do you have any doubt concerning this? Any problem, any sickness, any disease, any calamity, any whatever it is, Wallahi, Allah Azza wa Jal can solve it in less than a microsecond. There is no doubt concerning this. Does anyone doubt it? There is no doubt. Allah can solve it in an instant, but he delays it. To see this servant, what is he going to do? Who's he going to run to? And if Allah Azza wa Jal delays it, it's good for the servant. He's giving you an opportunity to exercise patience. And patience will give you a reward. Imagine he solved it for you in an instant. When in your life are you going to practice patience? How would you ever earn the reward in the ranks of the patient? You won't have time to do that. If Allah Azza wa Jal delays it, let's see his sabr, his goodness. Now is the time to turn to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal is, and Allah knows what he's going to do. But this is for you. You have no clue what you're going to do. But this is the guidance. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Turning to Allah, the first thing you're supposed to say is, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Naam. Subhanallah. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, وَمَنْ نَزَلَتْ بِهِ فَاقَةٌ فَأَنْزَلَهَا بِاللَّهِ يُوشِكُ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِرِزْقٍ عَاجِلٍ أَوْ آجِلٍ. And whoever was afflicted by a calamity, a trouble, a calamity, and he complains to Allah, meaning he rushes to Allah first and foremost and asks Allah and has good thought in Allah that he can solve it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, eventually Allah will provide for him sooner or later. Why? Why would Allah provide for him? Because he's as-samad. He has all your needs. It's all there with him. For that's what we need to do. Whenever there's a difficulty or calamity, rush to Allah first. Then if you need assistance of people or assistance of something or a medication or whatever it is, that's okay. Seek it, no problems. That's from the means. You're not relying on it anyway, right? You do not attach to it. You do not trust it. You do not rely on it. But you can use it because it's a means that Allah created. And perhaps this person has a solution for a problem. Maybe this medicine has a solution for a problem. Maybe this company has a solution for a problem. Doesn't matter. But you're not relying on that. You're relying on Allah to satisfy and fulfill your need. That's the approach, how it has to be in the heart when you're seeking means around you. Now, so try to make dua to Allah through this huge name, As-Samad. That at night, ya As-Samad. And say what your matter is and request the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be conscious that you're calling a great Lord who's able to fulfill all your needs. You need him and he's not in need of anyone. Use this name in your dua. It nourishes the iman and certainty in Allah in the heart. You'll find it coming to life. And this is the feeling you're supposed to have in the morning and in the evening when you're reading this surah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that there was a companion that was making dua. And he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi annaka anta Allahu la ilaha illa anta al-ahadu as-samad. He asked Allah azza wa jal through his name as-samad. Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yuladu. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this man just made a dua, just used words that are the greatest name of Allah. That if anyone was to ask Allah through this name, which is Surah Al-Ikhlas itself, then Allah azza wa jal would give him that which he requests and asks. Subhanallah. And how beautiful is it, as we said, to read Surah Al-Ikhlas, knowing that Surah Al-Ikhlas itself is a praise of Allah, meaning you are asking Allah through the greatest of his name. And then you're following it up with a dua that he protect you from the evils and the harms. And if you're protected from the evils and the harms that we'll discuss in Surah Al-Falaq or Surah Al-Nas, khalas, until you're on a straight path, bi-idhnillah. Now, and as you read them in the morning and in the evening, and you reach Allahu Samad, remember, don't rush your adhkaru al-sabah al-masa. Don't rush your prayers. Don't rush the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because you're saying As-Samad. Well, As-Samad means he's not in need of it. So why are you rushing it? Are you rushing it so that, here Allah, here, quick, I finished. As-Samad slows you down. Because when you realize As-Samad, I'm the one who needs him. He doesn't need my worship. He doesn't need anything from me. Why do you rush it for? And then you calm down. You calm down, you slow down, and you begin to recite with understanding here with the tongue and with the heart together. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. لَمْ يَلِدْ, he has not given birth, and he was not born. And this is true. And this is reaffirming the meaning once again somewhere in Ayat al-Kursi. What did we recite in Ayat al-Kursi? الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To him belongs everything in the heavens and in the earth. And if to him belongs everything in the heavens and in the earth, how can he be born? Because if someone gave birth to him, then that person would have been لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. وَمَعَاذَ اللَّهِ, that's not the case. So when you recited over there, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, you came and you reaffirmed here when you said لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He owns everything. No one owns him. He owns everything. So he was not given birth. He has not given birth. He has no children. And he was not born. He has no father and no mother. And this is the second half of Surah Al-Ikhlas. Because the first half of Surah Al-Ikhlas is affirmation. It's the affirmation part. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. The facts about Allah. The affirmed facts. The second half is negation. Negation, what doesn't belong to him. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. And that's the word of Tawheed is two parts. La ilaha illallah is two parts. La ilaha, there's no Lord. Nothing at all. No one worthy of worship. Then the affirmation, illallah, only one Lord. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so lam yalid. He doesn't have his own children. He doesn't have a partner. None of this. Allah azza wa jalla, he says, mattakhadha Allahu min walad. Even these words are more comprehensive. Because lam yalid, he didn't give birth. But then it could mean, maybe he adopted a son. So maybe he took from a mankind a son for him. So how do we close the door on this misconception? مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدْ Allah Azza wa Jal did not take a son for himself. So this would include, he has no children. He didn't adopt and take anyone, gave him the title Son of God. This title Son of God, Allah Azza wa Jal didn't give it to anyone. Which now shows you the corrupt nature of the Christian faith that say Isa ibn Allah, or the Jews who said Uzairun ibn Allah, or Quraysh in the Kuffar that said Al-Malaika banatullah, and everyone that ascribed something to Allah, all of this is not true. This is the biggest lie mankind ever heard. What is the biggest lie on earth? That Allah has a son. That's the biggest lie. Everything else is under that. The biggest lie on earth is that Allah Azza wa Jalla had a son. So it was mentioned in Surah Al-Ikhlas. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. We're concluding the surah. And especially for him, there are no equals. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Why? Because since he has no children, and since he wasn't born, so he has no mother and father, therefore, he can't have anyone that is similar or equal to him. He can't have anyone similar or equal. So that's the conclusion of the surah. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. That's the connection between ayah 3 and 4. Especially for him, there are no equals. Since he's got no children, no mother, father, he cannot look like anyone. He's unique, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. No one at all, subhanallah. And you know, يعني, a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said in front of the congregation, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ. O Messenger of Allah, whatever you will, whatever you and Allah will. He's saying, whatever you and Allah will. As though this man has made Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equal in the attribute of al-mashi'ah, the attribute of willing, decree, that he and Allah can decree whatever they like. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got extremely angry when he heard this. And he said to him, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدَّا. Did you make me equal to Allah? When Allah has said, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Have you made me an equal? Then he said to him, next time you say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. Say whatever Allah wills alone. Because this is only for him. He's the one who wills. No one shares this with Allah at all. Not even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how strong a tawheed is in the morning and in the evening. When you're reciting, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Look how protective the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerning at-tawheed. He closed every door that led to shirk, even if it was as tiny as a letter. Because that man just said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَا شِئْتْ. Just that woe. He got angry with a woe. And he closed the door immediately on this door of shirk. Never open it ever again. Next time you say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ, that's it. Shuf, subhanAllah, heck, at-tawheed needs to be preserved in your heart. And nothing is going to instill 100 complete percent of at-tawheed in your heart than the meanings that are found in the Quran, in the way Allah would describe Himself. And the best of them, Ayatul Kursi, which you're reading in the morning and the evening. And then the next one is Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And if you know this fact, therefore, if Allah has no equals, that means nothing should be loved in the same manner we love Him. And nothing should be feared in the same manner we fear Him. Your love for Allah Azza wa Jal needs to be first and foremost the most love. You cannot love anyone like you love Allah. If you do, That's known as shirk al-mahabba. And that is a form of shirk. Wallah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned this in the Quran about people who failed to understand this this concept. He said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. There are people from among mankind who have taken besides Allah others. They have taken others besides Allah as equal to Allah. They love them in the same manner they love Allah. That's the mushrikeen. They loved their idol in the same manner they loved Allah. I've told you before that the mushrikeen, they didn't have, they'd accept Allah as being their Lord and the provider and sustainer, and He gives life and He takes life. But we have these idols here, and we believe that the idols would make us away to Allah. إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. So they would love their idols in the exact same manner they love Allah. شِرْكُ الْمَحَبَّةِ كُفْر. Subhanallah. You cannot love anyone more than Allah. This is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah tested him, these are big tests, these are because these are prophets. Slaughter your son. Slaughter your son. He's testing his love. Allah is testing Ibrahim's love. Does he love me more than his son? Or is he going to love his son more than me, and he's going to fail to answer to this command and request from Allah? But Ibrahim alayhi salam, not only him, because he was a great father as well, and he instilled excellent morals and values in his son Ismail, Allah Azza wa Jalla would say, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. Both of them submitted to the command. Yeah, you would have assumed that Ismail would have ran away. What happened with my dad? He's gone. Something's happening to him. You would have expected, as a son, run away. Who, my dad's taking a knife, following me. La, he submitted. He said, إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Allahu Akbar. This is why he was a prophet. And he came and he brought the knife and he put it on his son's neck. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. تَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, meaning his head was on its side. Just like you're going to slaughter a sheep. It was on the side, on the rock. And his son Ismail's head was shaking. And he put the knife on the neck and he began. But it didn't slaughter. Allah Azza wa Jal made it fail in terms of what it does. And it did not slaughter. Then وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal would replace Ismail alayhi salam with a huge lamb. And that's the sunnah that we do every year. And the idea is to teach you. Allah Azza wa Jal sometimes will test mankind to see, do they really love Allah more than anything? Wallah, he loves others more than Allah. Allahu Akbar, if you fail this exam, this is a problem. Ya akhwan, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is life. This is it. Test after test after test. Calamity after calamity. You're given wealth and health and children and this and that. And Allah can take it any moment. You got no say in the matter. Allah can take it any moment. When He takes it, your love for Him is being tested. If you're going to lose it, oh, did you love it more than Allah? Why are you losing it for? My everything was going anyway. And then at the end of the day, on the day of judgment, that's the result day. Come, let's see. You passed in your love for Allah Azza wa Jal. You passed in the exams. Now here, go and enjoy, and this enjoyment will never be taken away from you. Khalas. That's it. This is life. Whatever it is you're tested in. Man, if you don't have these meanings in your life, you cannot live life. You cannot live life. People that commit suicide day after day in their tens, in their hundreds around the world, Heather, he has no purpose, no meaning in his life. Of course, and I didn't, يعني, who are there are, yes, some that would say, يعني, wallah, مثلاً, he's suffering from a mental problem, or that it's a psychological effect in him. Walhamdulillah, he's upon his prayers, upon his dhikr, and all of a sudden something happens. Such people, we don't judge them. يعني, أخر شيء, if it's a Muslim, رحمه الله, إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون, and his matter is to Allah. But fundamentally, suicide is something haram. Then when you want to come and investigate into it, you find that the majority of these people that commit suicide had no meaning to their life. There was no purpose in his life. He's walking around, his heart is dead. Might as well his body die as well. When you don't have Allah, when you don't have As-Samad in your life, when you don't have Surah Al-Ikhlas in your life, Wa Ayat Al-Kursi in your life, and you start going into sadness and depression and worry. And I'm talking about these people that are extremely far away from deen, and others that are kuffar anyway. finds himself in a dead end. What do I do after this? Killing yourself is going to make things easier? Well, that's the beginning of troubles after this now. It doesn't solve a problem. You cannot escape life in this manner. Life is life. Difficulties are difficulties. Calamities are calamities. What is going to give you the energy to live through all of this? Here are your adhkar, your Quran, your salat, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. We conclude, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is Surah Al-Ikhlas. It's a complete praise of Allah. In our next lesson, we're going to discuss the dua part. Seeking Allah's protection from evils. Surah Al-Falaq will give us a bunch of evils. And then Surah Al-Nas will focus on one evil. And that is the biggest evil, the biggest enemy. You're being reminded about him every morning and every evening. In Surah An-Nas, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. We'll speak more about that بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى when we get there. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.